crying loud, the breeze is sounding sad. Oh no, tell me when did we become so cold and empty inside? Lost away long time ago, did we really turn that blind? We don't see that we keep hurting each other, no. All we do is just fight. Now we share the same bright sun, same round moon. Why don't we share the same love? Tell me why not? Life is shorter than most I thought. Hold my hand, there are many ways to do it right. Hold my hand, turn around and see what you left behind. Hold my hand, my friend, we can save the good spirit of me and you. For another chance, and let's pray for the beautiful world, the beautiful world I share with.
You're welcome back. We need to hold our hands because this life is very, very short, and that's why we are going to account for every action that we act in this world, especially when it comes to our finance. It's something that we overlook, and today we'll be discussing about it. We'll be discussing of Islamic finance, where we explore the fascinating world of finance that is guided by Islamic principles. But before then, let's meet our guests. My guest's name, but let me read his profile. He's a seasoned C-level executive and extensive expertise spanning various industries, including FMCG, e-payments, home entertainment, distribution and logistics, security printing, and the oil and gas sectors. He is currently serving as the general manager of NU Metro Home. He led the team in establishing a robust distribution platform for home entertainment products in Nigeria. Previously, he held senior management roles in security printing and more recently in e-payments, where he served as an executive director overseeing a multi-billion naira business. With over two decades of expertise, he covers FMCG, oil and gas, telecommunication, distribution, consulting, security printing, e-payment education. My guest with this portfolio is no other person than Dr. Jibril Salaudin. Dr. Jibril holds a PhD in finance from the International Islamic University in Malaysia, and is a fellow of Chartered Institute of Marketing London and Institute of Professional Sales London, actively engaged in sales education. Dr. Salaudin is also passionate about learning, research, micropayment, poverty eradication, writing, and farming. Wow. Join me in welcoming Dr. Salaudin Jibril to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, if you're just joining us, this is your 11 a.m. Saturday talk show program, Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM. Before we move further, I would like to make reference to a verse of the Holy Quran and, of course, an hadith of the Holy Prophet,
sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Won't you give us a bit of highlight on the topic and why it is very important? Quran 2, verse 278 to 279 says, "All you who believe, be mindful of your duty to Allah and give up what remains due to you from usury, if you are indeed a believer. And if you do not, then take notice of war from Allah and His Messenger." This verse emphasizes the need for Muslims to be mindful of their financial dealings and to avoid unethical practices such as charging excessive interest, Islamic finance. Of course, remember that Islamic finance is built on the principles of fairness, transparency, and social responsibility, and it seeks to create an economy that is just and equitable for all stakeholders. I'll go to the hadith of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, reported by Sahih Bukhari on trading. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "There are three partners in business transaction: the one who brings in the capital, the one who provides the labor, and the one who provides the skill. Each of these partners has a right to the share of the profits. according to his distribution, his contribution, I mean. It is not permissible for anyone or any partner to take all the profits or for one partner to bear all the loss. This edict emphasizes the importance of fairness and transparency in financial transactions, which are very key principles of Islamic finance. With this, I encourage you to join us as we dive into the concept of profit sharing, risk sharing, social responsibility, and how Islamic finance differs from traditional finance. You're welcome again, Dr. Salahuddin.
Thank you very much, and I say a very good morning to our listeners at home.
This topic, I remember just before we started the program, I asked you a question about the profits on business. We'll surely go back to that because I need our listeners to also learn from it. But my first question is, what is Islamic finance itself?
All right. Thank you very much, my host, and it's a pleasure to be here this morning. If you look at the concept that is called Islamic finance today, it's a Sharia-compliant finance that has its practice and development rooted in Islamic economics, which we call a part of economics that looks strictly at the way transactions work. It also encompasses banking, which we call Islamic banking. The banking are split into two, which is first commercial banking, as well as microfinance banking. Insurance, which we call takaful, also split into two. And you have health management system, Islamic health management system. And you have as well Islamic social financing. And you have cooperative financing as well as asset management financing. So these are the body that encompasses Islamic finance, like I said, which has its root in Iqtisadun, which is Islamic economics, and Fiqh Mu'amala, Islamic jurisprudence on transactions.
That's very wide.
Quite wide.
How does Islamic finance differ from conventional finance?
Oh, okay. So when you look at the body of knowledge that is called Islamic finance today, and you look at the conventional capitalist financing system, you will find that Islamic finance takes out some elements that you didn't agree with in conventional financing. And these elements are four. One of them is riba, which you call interest. Riba under Islamic financing is prohibited, not only in Islam, in all of the Abrahamic religion.
Mm-hmm.
All of the Abrahamic religion prohibits riba. The ayah which you read from Surah Al-Baqarah, Quran chapter 2, verse 276 is one of them. There are seven other verses from the Quran where riba has also been prohibited. Same thing, you find this prohibition in the Bible. So all of the Abrahamic verses, if you look at Deuteronomy 23:19, if you look at Leviticus 25:36, Exodus 22:25, Ezekiel 18:5-9, all of them prohibit interest. Now, so interest is prohibited in Islamic finance, which means that money is not an asset except that which money can put into place to be an asset. So two is garar, which is excessive uncertainty. When you put that into a business or into a financial transaction, the Sharia throws it out. Then you have maisir, which is gambling. Gambling is also not allowed. Then anything that has been declared haram, you can go into it. These are the difference between conventional financing and Islamic financing.
Okay. Let me state an example here so you can shed more light.
Yeah.
We have some banks now. They claim that they are Islamic banks, but at the same time within it, there is still interest. And you have just said now that interest is not even in Islam. How do we, and they call it, they call it administrative charges or something like that. How do we differentiate that?
Thank you very much. Administrative charges are allowed. Commercial banks are set up to make profits. And so the services that they provide, some of them are priced. They help you send a letter of credit to your suppliers. That goes through an international correspondence system in the banking system. That costs money. They give you a checkbook. That costs money. They provide other secretarial and clerical services for you. That cost money because the staff that are doing this job are paid salaries. So those are administrative charges and they are allowed. Now, once you now said, I'm borrowing you money and I'm getting money back that becomes interest. So interest in all its format, simple, complex, compound, whatever shape it takes, becomes haram.
Okay, I'm sure that our listeners would have gotten the difference between administrative charges and the interest, so that we'll have that mind that they are not indirectly charging us on interest. It is just administrative charges. Absolutely. Thank you very much. It is Islamic finance for Muslims alone? But yeah, I know you have said that you have quoted some places in the Quran, I mean the Bible also, that says that interest is not allowed.
Yeah.
We call it Islamic finance. Obviously, with what you have said, is not for Muslims alone. But how can Muslims be sure that the financial services and products are Sharia compliant?
Okay, I think that's quite simple. First of all, Islamic finance is not for Muslims alone. Secondly, in Nigeria, it is even referred to as non-interest financing. Globally, it is called Islamic financing because of our peculiarity. I don't want to go back into history. Now, for us to be sure that what we are doing is in compliance, most all of these financial institutions, all of them, that offers Islamic financing product also have a Sharia advisory board. So all the product goes through the Sharia advisory board. Now, this in the central bank, there is also a freeze at the central bank, which is financial committee of experts, which is composed of Sharia experts that sit on the board, that looks and do also audit of everything that the banks are doing or these financial organizations are doing to ensure that they are also in compliance. So in terms of us being sure that these are Sharia compliant, we have multi-layers of checks that ensures that the systems, even the products, are in compliance with the Sharia.
And I would say that it should be important for the government or the banks to enlighten a lot of Muslims out there that everything that they're doing is Sharia compliant, because there is a lot of miscommunication out.
I understand that, and honestly it is appreciated, because you see the field of Mu'amala, the jurisdiction of dealings in terms of business, it's not something that is, it's not the knowledge that you find everywhere like what you have in theology. Okay, so and most of the people who have studied theology for so many years and they become expert at it, it's difficult for them to import that knowledge directly into financing. So you can find those gaps. And so when you say to people, this is Islamic finance, they thought it's free finance. Unfortunately, it's not free finance. They are financing system that respect the Islamic principles.
Okay. They are not free finance, but they are guided by Islamic principles.
Absolutely.
Can non-Muslims work in Islamic finance organization?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was at one of the banks yesterday, and I saw a number of non-Muslims, even here in Lagos, working. It doesn't call for that you must be a Muslim to work in an Islamic finance, in an Islamic bank, or a takaful company. I also know very well of an MD, a managing director, of one of the takaful company, who is actually a pastor.
Wow.
Yes. And when I was also taking my master degree program in Lancashire, one of my supervisor in Islamic banking, who taught me, supervised some of my work, was also a non-Muslim. He's a Christian, and he's a professor of Islamic finance.
Interesting.
Yes. So it doesn't stop people from practicing because they are not Muslims. No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all.
But how do they understand the Islamic guidelines?
Yeah, because there are, you know, banking majorly are operations, and they are operation guided. So the Islamic guidelines is already built into the product, and so they can function with it. Oh. It's so easy.
Okay. What are the structure of Islamic finance system?
Okay. The structure of the Islamic finance system looks at five major things. One, it looks at the source of the wealth, and it says that wealth must be generated from legitimate trade and asset-based investments. So it must be from a legitimate trade. So you can't say I'm generating money, I'm operating an Islamic financing outfit, and I'm generating money from alcohol sales, or I'm operating Islamic financing and I'm generating money from anything that is haram, pornography and the rest. It's not allowed. Now, the investment should also have a social and ethical benefit. So the investment itself is not just pure returns. Okay, it should have both social and ethical benefit that benefits the community as well. Three, risk should be shared. So it's not a risk transfer mechanism. In the conventional system, you transfer the risk. In the Islamic system, you share the risk. So, and all harmful activities, which we call haram, must be removed. Anything that is going to cause trouble to the individual, intellect, religion, progeny, environment, are not allowed. So it must not be that we want to make money at all costs and we say to hell with any other thing that happens in the society. That won't be allowed. So once you look at this, this forms the basic structure of the Islamic financing system.
Thank you very much, Dr. Salahuddin. If you're just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7 FM, and our topic of discussion is Islamic finance. Our phone lines are now open. If you would like to call us, 07000-917-917, 07000-917-917. And refer to you the text message or WhatsApp, 07031756537. 07031756537. Mr. Laudin, the question I asked earlier,
yes, ma'am,
about profit in business, because I have heard a lot of, I've asked, even personally, I've asked that question, that what is the Islamic guideline on profit on products and services? How do you calculate it? You are not going to be, you don't want to put a lot of, you want to gain, at the same time, you want to be concerned about your customer. How do you balance it?
Yes, so Islam does not allow profiteering. Islamic finance does not allow you to go into profiteering, and that is making excessive profit on the people and cheating them. It doesn't allow that. Cost is another area, and a lot of people, especially traders, don't really understand their costs. So they need to understand what their actual cost is. The cost of buying this pen, the cost of buying this pen will also include my costs and apportion cost of transportation on it. It will also be an apportion cost of storage of this, as well as an apportion cost of the effort to make it available. Maybe I'm advertising it on radio, the Women Radio FM. That will be part of my cost. Now, having taken in all of my cost, the position of the fuqaha is that it must not be more than 50% of the cost. So if all of my cost is 100 naira, I can't sell it more than 150 naira. So if it goes above that, I'm profiteering. And profiteering is that I'm enjoying, I'm actually causing injury to the community. So we need to be very careful of that and be very mindful of it.
So why would those that say that it's because of your location, your branding, whatever?
They have to take all of those in. Yes, they have to take all of those.
Okay. So my next question is, the Islamic finance industry reached almost $4 trillion in 2021 with an annual growth rate of between 14% and 17%. What is the contribution of Islamic finance to the Nigerian national development?
Alhamdulillah, thank you very much. If you look at history of Islamic finance in Nigeria, it is one history that has actually tainted with a lot of issues. But alhamdulillah, if you look at what the industry is doing vis-a-vis the total financial industry, is actually quite tiny. What we call the Islamic finance industry today, if you subsume it into the total financial industry in Nigeria, is less than 5% in terms of its size, the quantum size. But don't forget, here we're not comparing apple for apple. We're comparing an industry that is over 60 years in Nigeria to an industry that is barely 10 years. So we're not comparing apple for apple. We're probably comparing apple for orange. But even at that, the federal government of Nigeria has been able to issue sukuk between 2017 and date up to the tune of 742 billion naira.
Wow.
That is the total amount of sukuk that has been actually issued by the federal government of Nigeria in terms of sovereign sukuk. There are quasi-sovereign sukuk like the one issued by Osun State that is not actually captured here. And this amount of money has gone into the construction of 75 roads and bridges across Nigeria. So that is a contribution directly to national development, which has opened up places for business, for investment, and for infrastructure. In fact, if you search up my name on Google, you will see a research work that I did on Sukuk, an instrument for infrastructure development in Nigeria. Which is very timely, that looks at how we can actually use Sukuk to continue to develop our nation and make ourselves and make our nation great. Also, this Sukuk has been listed. Most of this Sukuk has been listed on the floor of the exchange, which means there are alternative trading that has taken place, and a lot of people are now becoming more interested in it. Now, if you take that out, you look at employment generations. Today, we have about 5 Islamic banks. We have about another 4 Takaful company, which is insurance company, okay. About 6 asset management company. They have created employment. They have created employment. And so this employment generation that has also been created. In terms of financial inclusion, people who have excluded themselves from the financial net because of riba, maisir, garar, and haram are now being invited to join into the system. So we have more inclusion coming in. If you check the EFINA report in the last 5 years, you'll see that year in, year out, we have more people being included in the financial system because of the presence of the Islamic financial banks in Nigeria and the Takaful. So these are a lot of contribution that it has done, though we still look at it tiny in terms of the quantum of it, but we see that it actually has a lot of growth. And like you've asked in the question, this has a possibility of giving us a 17% growth year in, year out.
That means we should celebrate our little wins.
Yeah, sure we should.
Okay, yeah, we have a question here. Where can we get an institution in Nigeria that are actually Islamic in nature, borrowing in these so-called Islamic banks are not so different from the conventional?
Well, my understanding is that there are quite a number of them. Jais Bank is one of them. Taj Bank is one of them. Lotus Bank is one of them. And Alternative Bank is another one of them, as well as SunTrust. So all these are Islamic financial institutions in terms of banks that offers these services. So the issue of borrowing, which is tantamount to loaning, Islamic banks don't give loans. Islamic banks finance projects. When you want loan, the only loans that exist in Islamic palace are Qard al-Hasad, which are benevolence loan. These loans gives you, these are free loans that people take, and you return the same amount. So if I take a card from you for 1 million naira, when I come to payment, I collect, I pay back 1 million naira, no difference.
We have another question here. Thank you, Dr. Salahuddin. We have another question here. Please, can a Muslim work in a conventional bank, as you understand that it is structured based on interest?
Well, scholars have said Muslim can work in conventional bank under their necessity. And now, their necessity has no definition. It's with Allah. So if you know you have that definition and you can get that proof before God, of course, why not? You can do it. But for me, I don't have the meaning of their necessity. And so that's where they hinge it on. They say, yes, you can work in a conventional bank under their necessity. Now, what is the definition of their necessity? That is where the challenge is. So I leave it to the questioner to find out the definition of their necessity, then make a choice.
Actually, I'm also trying to figure out what is the meaning of their necessity. Oh my God, that's deep. So it's relative. Mr. Abayomi Alawodi, a Nigerian Christian, is a global expert on Islamic finance and currently the head of Islamic finance at the World Bank. How do you think the Islamic financial system can bring people and communities together?
One of the things that we have found out in the last couple of years, particularly in the field of Islamic financing, and Islamic finance to be more exact, is that it is an instrument of unity. Islamic finance has shown itself as an instrument of unity. Trade is universal. Knowledge is universal. Practice of finance is universal. As such, I mean, having a Nigerian heading Islamic banking in the World Bank is a plus. who is also a non-Muslim. It's a plus. So we are beginning, because that enables us to actually study ourselves and look deeply into what each and every one of us is doing. And that way we have an understanding. And so we go in with an open mind, not a bias. Now, because bias is the major trouble. Now, if we're able to take the bias and we're able to set it aside and we're able to look at ourselves cleanly from the point of knowledge, then you see more inclusion, more unity, and more development in our nation. I've read in different fora and I've heard in different fora where people have said they have a lot of non-Muslim customers in the Islamic banks and they're doing very well. And so it should be respected and should be celebrated.
Okay. What are the main financial instruments in Islamic finance?
Yeah, the financial instruments are based on the contracts. One, you have the instrument of Mudaraba. Mudaraba means profit and loss sharing. So there are two set of people involved, the entrepreneur as well as the Rab al Mal, the owner of the money. They can come together. So if I have a fantastic idea on business, but I don't have the cash, I can come to you if you have the money. So you are investing the money and we have an agreement. Based on that agreement, we have our profit and loss sharing ratio. Okay, so that is an instrument in Mudaraba. You also have Musharaka, which is partnership. So the banks also have partnership. All the accounts that you can think of, all the financial system, some financial product rather, that you can think of in conventional financing, they are also available in Islamic financing. So if you have savings account, they have savings account that is based on trust. So I'm saving this money on trust. Anytime I ask for it, you give it to me back. They also have investment account. This money, I'm giving it to you on investment, and they can invest it. Trade finance, I need a trade finance. I want leasing, which is ijara. So all of these are available in Islamic finance.
Okay. Sometimes ago, I was discussing with some school owners, and this question came up, as in a concern came up, that anytime we go to the bank, even the Islamic banks, the criteria they tell them to bring does not favor the small, medium enterprise. How do they go about it to balance up? Everybody needs this thing. We need to move on in life, but we also need their help. What do they do?
Yeah, so there is no financial institution in the world where you just go in, whether it is conventional or Islamic, and just say, here you go, give it 20 million naira, and it's handed over to you. It doesn't happen like that. So what happened is there are set criteria that are expected to be met. They want to know what is your cash flow. Are you able to pay back? What do you want to buy? People have said, we've gone to the bank, we say we want to buy a computer, they should give us cash, and they've refused. Yes, Islamic bank will not give you money to go and buy computers. Rather, they will partner with the seller of a computer and pay that seller of a computer that money, so that money is not diverted into something else. So a lot of us don't want this. We just want the money given to us, put in our pocket, we spend it whichever way we want, and we come back and say we can pay back. No, that's not going to happen. That will never happen, because this must be asset-backed financing. So the asset-backed part of it is what a lot of people complain about. Also, the Islamic banks will also check on, they will use at the credit bureau to check at the background of the person who wants to get financing. If it's a perpetual defaulter that has been defaulting from banks to banks, they will not give him money. He will not get any financing. He will not get anything. Because if he has, or they check through an algorithm. Today, with artificial intelligence, there are algorithms they can use to profile me as Jibril Salahuddin. And they now discover that this person is into gambling. The algorithm has thrown it up that this person is into gambling. So if he's into gambling, why do we need to give him money or give him financing? He's going to divert that same financing into gambling. So some people are just not qualified. And if they're not qualified, you don't give them money. Money is a sophisticated tool that is not given to fools. So you have to be careful. Also, like I said, people think, they say it's Islamic bank. I will just walk in and I will just collect my whatever investment I want and I walk away. It's not true. Because all these banks we've spoken about, they also have shareholders who are expecting profits. They're expecting profits. So they must make sure that the pricing and the tenor works for them. School owner must have financial records. When a nurse says, give me your financial record and you are hiding it, and you still want to be given money, that will be difficult.
Mm.
So all of those openness and proper keeping and governance and structure are very important in Islamic finance as well. So those are the major challenges that we've seen with people who have come in to say, just hand me cash.
Thank you very much. We have a question here.
Yeah.
Good morning, Doctor. It's been over a decade since Islamic finance was introduced into the Nigerian financial system. Would you say that most Muslims have embraced this ethical option in the light of what you have discussed as a command of Allah, the Prophet, and ethical benefits? If not, why are most Muslims still reluctant or unable to switch or embrace this system of finance since we now have so many Islamic banks in the country?
All right. Thank you very much for this question. Change is a slow process, unfortunately. And you see, we are also a creatures of habits. And you can't just come in something, you can't have a system that is over 60 years old. I mean, some of the banks are pre-independent in Nigeria. And you can't have something that is 10 years old saying that I'm going to take this away from them. It's going to take a while. Yes, I know that the hope is that we should just have everything. No, it won't happen like that. It is a gradual process. And this process will be taken. I mean, you can look at it yourself. 20 years ago, we don't have a single Islamic bank.
That's true.
In our own lifetime, we have seen how many? We have seen about 6. We never had a single top careful company. In our own lifetime, we have seen 5. All happening within this period that we've called a decade. So, yes, going back to your question, I won't say that all the Muslims in the country, that the majority of them have tuned into Islamic banking. I won't say that. It would be wrong for me to say that. But I will say that we are seeing development year in, year out in terms of growth. That we have seen.
Alhamdulillah.
But in terms of the quantumness that you see, just say, it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while. And even if you look at the size of the number, in terms of size, you look at the number of the Islamic bank, and if you superimpose that on the conventional bank around, there are much more conventional bank around than the Islamic banks. There are much more insurance company than the Takaful company. There are much more asset management company that are conventional than the Islamic asset management companies. So all of that, and there are a lot of people that even if they wish that they want to have an account in Islamic bank, they can't.
Why?
Because of the what is needed for their financial inclusion is not there. One of the elements for financial inclusion is nearness to the bank branch. They don't even have it. They don't have nearness. Another is them being able to have valid identification. Some of them, a lot of Nigerians don't even have valid IDs. The mistake we make a lot of time is that when we sit in Lagos and Ogun State, we think that is a representation of Nigeria. We're forgetting that there are people in rural area who don't even see electricity.
Wow.
Yes, that is the reality. So these numbers will grow, but it will take a while, in my own estimation.
How does Islamic insurance operate?
Okay, so the Islamic insurance is what we call the Takaful. And so, like I said earlier, the conventional insurance do risk transfer. So I have a third-party motor insurance. I say if anything happens to me, I have an accident with any other vehicle, that risk is transferred to the insurance company. Now, in Takaful, it is a risk-sharing system. So it is based on the process, on the principle called tabarru. And in the tabarru, it is an ancient Arab practice where people come together and put money together because they have trade in caravans. And if they suffer any misshape, they take that money to support it. So really, in the Takaful system, is a risk-sharing system. So 50 of us seated together, put aside some money. If anybody has a misshape, we take part of that money to solve that problem. Whatever is left, all of us that didn't have any misshape in the financial year, the profit is then shared among us. So you can actually have a third party motor insurance or a comprehensive motor insurance, and you don't have any accident for the whole year. And at the end of the year, after the Takaful company have taken their own wakala, which is their agency fee, whatever is left, you will also participate in sharing that profit.
Wow.
And I've actually participated in a lot of profit share with No Takaful, with Jai's Takaful. I've participated in a lot of profit sharing with them.
Okay, so if you know, we have the car insurance that's the car insurance for the when you're going, you want to register your car and things like
that.
Are you saying that Takaful also has that?
Of course, the car I brought in here is registered by No Takaful.
Wow,
and it's under comprehensive.
Okay. During the early years of introduction of Islamic banking in Nigeria, when the CBN published the framework to govern and guide the practice of non-interest financial institutions, some people erroneously claimed it was a plot to Islamize Nigeria. The then CBN governor, Israel Aines, former emir of Kano, Alhaji Sanusi Lamido Sanusi, said, people were complaining about Sharia in some clauses, and I said, we should remove Sharia. After more than a decade of the practice of Islamic finance in Nigeria, what have record and experience shown?
Alhamdulillah. And this is interesting. And because it's, you remind me of those early days. I remember when those efforts were made at inception. Let us not also forget that the initial draft for Islamic banking in Nigeria didn't come from His Royal Highness Sanusi Lamido Sanusi. Soludo actually did the initial job. Soludo did the initial job, and I remember I got a draft of that initial work. It was a two-pager, and in my office at that time, we were able to turn it into a 29-pager document and send it back. And I know a lot of people also made contribution, but it wasn't during his time that it actually came into full flesh, because Soludo, coming from the academics and a renowned economist, understood what Islamic finance has contributed to different parts of the world. So he was able to bring it forward. But alhamdulillah, the then CBN governor, Muhammad Sanusi Lamido, also worked on it extensively, and the framework. Yeah, we had a lot of challenge at inception. People were saying it's going to Islamize Nigeria, it's going to do this. And because most of those talk were being out of pure ignorance. Pure ignorance. Today, we're here. So how many people has it converted to Christianity or to Islam or to Judaism or to paganism? It's not true. It's just an alternative system of financing. It doesn't seek to convert anybody into any religion. It's just that this is a financial system that is ethical, free of riba, free of destruction to the environment, and adding to social development. That's what all it is. And respects the Sharia. Because Muslims will not want to patronize, if they are mindful of their religion, they don't want to patronize the conventional banks. It's against our religion, the tenet of our religion. The ayah you read at the inception from Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, 276, is one of the two rare cases in the entire Quran where Allah says, if anybody takes riba, he should be prepared for war with him. Only two rare cases. So who is ready to fight Allah?
That's deep.
So I think Islamic banking and financing, Takaful and everything, has actually helped more. I was just reading a book last week written by a Christian who is also a pastor who has been an MD of a Takaful company. He was writing about it. He actually published a book on it. So these are development. It has brought in more unity rather than what the naysayers have actually been propagating.
I hope the owners of Takaful are listening. They have to come here to advertise. They have to sponsor our program. This is definitely, we are waiting for them to sponsor this program, because we've mentioned them and we're talking about what they have been doing. So we are expecting them to come sponsor our program shortly. There was a time that we learned we have more non-Muslims patronizing the Islamic banks. How true is that?
Well, I don't have the statistics, but that could be true. If we have more non-Muslims as traders, then generally you should expect that more traders will go to a bank that favors them in terms of financing. If we have more non-Muslims in business, then it is also natural that more of them, an entrepreneur will always look for financing. At whatever stage he found himself, at inception, at growth stage, at maturity stage, at decline, at every point in the development of entrepreneurship, you always need financing, and those financing are better coming from the banks. So if you have more non-Muslim traders, more non-Muslim industrialists, more non-Muslim entrepreneurs, of course, is going to respect the same chain. It's natural. And nobody stops the Muslim from becoming more traders, more entrepreneurs, more industrialists. We're in a free market. So it's likely, but I don't have the statistics.
Okay, thank you. There's a question here. You mentioned something about the Sharia compliance listing in the banking.
Yes.
And someone said, what is the main role of the Sharia board in Islamic finance? What is their main role?
Okay, thank you. You see, there's governance in every financial institution. So you have the board, you have the CBN overseeing it. Now, you also now, on the Islamic finance side, you have an additional control, which is the Sharia. What do they do? They look at every product before they roll it out. Are this product in line with the Sharia? Then they sign off if it is in line. If they are not in line, they send it back. That is the number one role they play. Number two role they play is that the income of the bank, they check the income of the bank and say, have you earned all this money following the Sharia principle? If it is yes, they approve it. If it is not, that portion that has been earned not due to the Sharia, they take it out for wealth purification, which means it is taken out and given to a charity which does not form part of the income of the bank. Now, let me give you an instance. Penalties. I have gone to an Islamic financial institution and I've been able to get financing for this laptop, and I've said I'm going to pay for 3 months. And after 3 months, I'm not able to pay. They now levy me that I should pay that money plus a penalty of 100 naira. That 100 naira will not be the money of the bank. They will take that 100 naira out and give it to a charity because the bank has not earned that money in the course of trading.
Wow. Okay, doctor. Most people, I would say, let me say most or some people patronize the conventional banks. You have saved 10 naira in your bank. And by the time the interest was going to come, you had maybe 15 naira. That 5 naira on it, are you supposed to spend it or give it out? That's number one question.
Okay.
Sorry. Number two is that if you're not going to spend it, will you say that it's part of the charges, maybe your ATM charge, your email charges, can you use it to cover up as those charges, or you give it out?
Okay, so I'll start the answer from number two. That number two is just looking for excuses to eat riba. So it's not you're not using it to cover anything. There are bank charges and they stand straight. There are interest, they also stand straight. The interest that comes in, that extra 50 naira from your 100 naira that comes in as interest, which is clearly labeled your interest earned for that month, is not your money. So you take it out and you give it to a charity without expecting any reward from God. That is the position of the Sharia on it.
Wow.
That's it. It's not your money. You didn't work for it. You didn't do anything. So give it back to charity, because in the first place, you're not supposed to even earn it. Now that you have not earned it, you have to take it out and give it to a charity and take your hands off it. That is what we must do. And you see, like I said, we have to unlearn what we have learned before. It's going to take a while. It won't just happen automatically. It has been with us for several years, 60, 70, 80 years. It's going to take a while. So after we have unlearned the system, then we need to now relearn the Islamic financing system. Most of us that goes about today calling ourselves Islamic finance experts, of course, we've learned the conventional system. Yes, we've learned the conventional system. My first degrees are both in accounting and law. So today, moving into Islamic finance means that I had to first of all unlearn what I've learned before and relearn new things.
May Allah ease our fears, and may Allah forgive our shortcomings, because that question that a person posted is really dedicated. That means that we have to start, everyone has to start a career record of whatever that you're saving into your bank,
absolutely,
your bank account, and remove the one that is not yours.
Absolutely.
We have to be intentional about that.
Absolutely.
Okay, there's a question here I'm trying to... Okay, someone is asking about HMO.
Yes.
You spoke about the insurance, Islamic insurance and things like that.
Yes.
The person said you should enlighten us more on what the HMO is all about.
All right. The Islamic health management system is has a lot of difference from what we currently have as a conventional health management system here. I know they will come around very soon, inshallah, on this radio to come and speak to you about. I know if an organization that has already gotten to the final stage of getting such license. So how does it operate? The way the Islamic HMO operates is that for every 5 naira that you get, use 1 naira to treat the person today, use 1 naira to service the system, use 2 naira to save for the future, okay, and keep 1 naira for posterity. So what happened? Today when we start working, maybe at the age of 21, 22, we're still in our prime. We work, and by the time we're 50, 55, we're going into retirement, maybe at 60, and that is when all the other ailments start coming up.
Yeah.
At which time, we're not able to get any HMO to support us. Meanwhile, all the money we have paid before is gone. Now, the Islamic system doesn't work like that. Islamic system will collect the money from you today, and a chunk of that is saved for when you get to old age, that is going to support you till you die.
Interesting.
So, this is what the Islamic HMO system is all about. They also look at putting that 1 naira that I say is extra that you put into posterity. You are now using it to collaborate with pharmaceutical firm to build drug factories, to start producing vaccine and whatnot. So those are the way that makes them completely different. Also, the Islamic HMO system ensures that you have access, quicker access. Because, like I said, the 2 naira that they are keeping, 1 naira out of it, also goes into training and development. So people who want to take physiotherapy, nursing, medicine, pharmacy, and other areas are also helped and given scholarship to develop the critical manpower that is required. So these are the way it works. Yes, they make profit, but not as much as what the conventional will make. Because they have so much to do. So when they handhold you, they have to handhold you into your old age.
Okay, so thank you very much, Doctor. There is another question here that mentioned agency agreements. That, according to Islam, agreements are not supposed to be broken. But what are the criteria? What are the issues? When does it arise that your agreement is, maybe you have something, you have a deal with an Islamic bank, and somehow you failed? What is the agreement on it, and how do you cover up?
Okay, so on agreements. And Islam takes a lot of care in looking at agreement. Promises and agreement are things that are very critical in the palace of the Sharia. The Sharia does not allow people to make loose agreements. When you look at marriages are a function of agreements. And that's why anything that has to do with agreement are taken seriously in Islamic jurisprudence. They are taken very seriously. Yes, can they be broken? They can be broken sometimes, because there are things that are actually beyond us. I take money that I want to open up a business center, and I bought computers, and I'm running my computer company. In the process, there are power misshapen and they got burnt. That's beyond me. So what the Islamic finance that has given me that money will ordinarily do is that they will put in place a takaful to cover it.
Okay.
Now, but if that is not done and I didn't do it as well, it means that my repayment then becomes difficult. I need to now be open to them. I don't need to run away. I need to go and meet them and say, Ban XYZ, this is what has happened to me. I can no longer pay within this time that has been agreed. They will now ask me, so when will you be able to pay? What do you need to do? And all of that can be put in place. But rather than doing that, what most of us do is that once we know we cannot do this, we just run away. Running away does not solve the problem. It doesn't also cancel the debt. It doesn't. So what we must do is to confront it. I know of a country in the world, not in Nigeria, where farmers have taken salam as an investment for rice farming. And that year, they had more water than expected. And the erosion came in and flood came and washed away tons and tons of rice farm. A lot of them went aside, instead of talking to their banks, they started committing suicide.
Oh my God.
And we said, no, this is not the way to go. Suicide is not the solution. You need to sit down with your financier and say, this is the position I found myself. What can we do? There are Islamic financing products, for instance, that fit area with flood. It is called Igaza. Or where areas with natural perils. And that can be deployed to take care of it. There are instruments and there are funds within the Islamic financial industry that you can also use the poorest of the poor. And there's Qabd al-Hasan. There are materials, there are instruments that you can also use to fund people who are handicapped poor. And that is why we have the institution of Zakah. It's part of Islamic social finance. They are collected, managed, and distributed accordingly to take care of these people that are less privileged. So we must, but we must not go in into an agreement with the mindset that I'm going to break it.
Okay.
Okay, so our intention from the beginning should be pure and should be clean. And we should beg Allah to assist us with this. Thereafter, we should work our best to make sure that we're paying our debt. If you take a debt and you don't pay and you die, you're in trouble. If you're a Muslim, you understand this. Your dead body will not be buried except your debt is paid. Or somebody stood up to say, I'm paying on your behalf. Or your family are saying that we're ready to assume the debt. So debt is not something you just play with.
You mentioned something about Zakat, but of course that is not the topic for today. I'm sure that one of these days we'll be calling you back
Inshallah.
To come speak on Zakat and the calculation.
Inshallah.
Thank you very much, Dr. Salaudin Jibril. I'm sure that our listeners too have learned one or two things from this, because for me, I've learned a lot from the prophets, profiteering, and so many other things. My credit goes to WFM and MPAC for this beautiful program. Thank you to our listeners for having a lovely time with us and also learning more about Islamic finance, which offers a unique potential for growth and prosperity, as we have all heard. Islamic finance also provides a different perspective on financial decision making that prioritizes social responsibility and ethical conduct. All we need to do is adhere to these ethical, transparent principles of Islamic finance. Obviously, we all know that Islam is the complete way of life, and that's why we are brought in this also. Takafo and other Islamic banks, Dr. Jibril has come here to speak about you, and we'll be expecting you shortly to come sponsor and advertise on our program.
Inshallah.
I'm Rashida Adetunwo Keolaniyan, and I'll say a big thank you to our engineer Ilari and the producer Dami for a successful show. Until we come your way again next week, same station, same time. Let's create a more just and equitable world for everyone by standing with the people of Palestine. It's all about humanity. Humanity knows no race, no religion. Palestine, of course, owns both Muslims and Christians. And human life matters a lot to us. Thank you very much, Dr. Salaudin.
My pleasure being here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa barakatuh.